Welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Peju Bambushi Roethlisberger.
Hi, everyone, and I'm Naomi Bambushi.
And this is the Bambushi Happy Hour Pop Edition. How are you, Bob? What's up?
Oh, I'm a little tired. I'm wonderful overall, but I'm a little tired because I just moved. You know, the place is lovely, but oh, it's always so much work, even for the movers. And thank heavens, daughter, for you. You actually did more work than the movers did. Oh, thank you for everything. And
you're
still
welcome.
Have a bunch more to do. Now it's the whole thing of unpacking and decorating and oh my goodness. But you know what? I'll if everything goes well, I'll have time and I'll get it done. But right now I am super duper tired, but extremely happy to have moved into an even lovelier place than my last place.
Okay. Well, that's really good, Ma. I'm also a little bit sore today, but, you know, positive vibes. I had a really, long weekend. I went to Colorado to visit my brother-in-law, and we had a little too much fun. We turned it up a little too much, but, but I'm all good. And we also went to a concert, Ma. Father John Misty, and I will say he's not normally someone that I listen to very often, but he definitely put on a good show. He did the best he could for what he was working with.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, it was fun. And
I have to listen to some of his music sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be in, you know, a certain type of mood, I'll tell you that, but he's a good performer.
All right, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Was it
an indoor or outdoor venue?
Oh, it was an outdoor venue, the Red Rocks, the famous theater in Colorado.
Oh,
and it is up really high. Like, that altitude got me. Oh my goodness.
Could you breathe? Were you having difficulty? Well, I know you could breathe, but were you having difficulty breathing?
I had to take a couple of breaks in between.
Oh, wow.
But once I got in the theater, it was surrounded by rocks and it was just so nice. And the weather, the temperature was perfect. It was like in the mid 70s, beautiful compared to the 1000s that are, here in Texas.
Compared to hell in Texas. Right. Okay.
So I think we both deserve a toast.
Okay. All right, sweetie. So what are we toasting with today?
So, of course, one of our favorites, Ego Tequila.
Oh, wonderful.
From Ricky Kelly.
Okay.
So you ready? Yes, Ma. Okay. I'm ready. All day long.
Okay. Here we go. Health, wealth, and happiness. Long life and prosperity. Salud.
Salud.
Woo-woo.
Okay. The tequila was good.
Okay.
We normally like a chaser afterwards, but we...
Okay.
We forgot the chaser. Okay.
What a kick.
Woo. And I really like that tequila. Oh gosh. No, okay, guys.
Okay. Woo.
All right. So let's talk about Queen Bee. So my Queen Bee's album Renaissance has been all the talk over the past week. And I got a chance to listen to it. I actually listened to the entire album twice. And obviously I've been, playing songs like Break My Soul and Cozy and Church Girl. So this album, this is her seventh studio solo album, and it is number one. And it is all about the retro dance music, club music. It celebrates Black people, the Black queer population. It pays homage to James Brown, to their stuff that reminds you of Prince. There's voguing, Tina Marie, and hip hop. All of that is on here. What do you call it? Who's the Funkadelics? Who's Bill? The Clinton, George Clinton.
George Clinton. And whoever, a bunch of them.
Robin S. You got the Show Me Love and Grace Jones, all of that.
Mm-hmm. Donna Summers.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And Beyonce said that she, you know, wanted to do something that was fun, you know, during a time of so much social unrest and chaos. And this is that album.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'm loving it. I'm loving that she's celebrating, of course, you know, Black women. But this me definitely put the front, the Black queer population, don't you think?
Okay. Yes. Yes, I do. And kudos to Beyonce for acknowledging and being inclusive of all of us in all of our different aspects and personalities and on and on and on. Just wonderful.
Did you like the album?
Very much. I like the album very much. I didn't hear all of it, but I heard a good 90% of it. Okay. And I loved it. Put me in a good mood. And it, you know, you could just turn it on and let it play. It's just telling a story all the way through. I loved it. I loved it. I'm a big Beyonce fan anyway. Okay. If, you know, full disclosure. But yes, I do like the album very much.
Okay. Well, let's talk about, like I said, this is a lot to do with Beyonce this week. Beyonce and Khalees. So Beyonce has since removed any samples of the interpolation from her song Energy. And Khalees wasn't happy about Beyonce sampling her song. Now, to my ears, and I like Khalees because I think Khalees has gone through some rough times and maybe, you know, she's feeling some type of way.
Okay.
But I couldn't tell that, I really couldn't tell that Milkshake was sampled in the song, in the song Energy. But apparently it was. But when they do, what is it called, interpolations, they kind of, it's an existing sound that they alter for people who don't know what that is. Right. Well, Khalees said, my mind is blown too because the level of disrespect and utterance of all three parties involved is astounding. Nothing is ever as it seems. Some of the people in this business have no soul or integrity and they have everyone fooled. Okay, so they sampled Milkshake. And to our eyes, Milkshake does not have Khalees credited as a writer. It has Pharrell Williams and Chad Hugo credited on the track. Now, there's been a lot of different issues that Khalees has had with Pharrell over the years regarding writing and regarding splits and money that she didn't make from the album because she was, according to her, was under the impression it was going to be a 33% split between her, Pharrell, and Chad. And she says she made nothing from her first album except from whatever she made touring. So, you know, she went on to say that it's not about Beyonce. And then she went on and talked about Pharrell and, you know, pretty much said it was her issues with Pharrell. So
they had a long-standing beef.
Correct.
Right.
So she said, Khalees said it was a trigger point for her. So Mom, what do you think about all this stuff with the way Beyonce and Khalees handled this whole situation?
Okay. I think Khalees, I'm not really sure why she wanted to go public with it and carrying on with it and so on and so forth. But in the past, when things like that has happened, it's usually because the person who has less power is trying to get the support and attention of the public. That's usually what happens. And in Khalees's case, I think Khalees was, I saw a little clip of Khalees and she was going off and saying it was this stupid and Beyonce was a thief or whoever was a thief or this or that. And she came off very mean, very nasty, very unprofessional, did not come off as a colleague, you know, because I guess I'm just totally confused because I thought those people had negotiators or maybe in some cases negotiated directly themselves, which I think is rare, but I thought they had people who, you know, surrogates and representatives and so on and so forth that represented them and did negotiations for them. I really always felt that people who were using the public were people who just had no other recourse or thought the public could somehow impact the outcome, you know, getting the public involved. And that's what I thought. And Khalees did not get the public involved in a way where she came across as positive or, like I said, or professional or a peer. She came off as if she's somebody on the come up and is trying to get attention, you know, or is trying to get her just due. She did not come off as an established artist. Who, if in fact, thought she had a legitimate complaint or there was any type of legitimacy to her argument, would have taken it through proper channels and not, you know, did what she did. I mean, like with Mace, with Puffy, you know, Mace was all on the news and whatever, you know, in the media talking about how Puffy did this and did that and blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm just presuming that Mace wasn't doing as well. And, you know, maybe Puffy did do all those things. I don't know. That's not the issue. The issue is that I felt that he, rather than to have attorneys and negotiators go at it, he was doing it through the public.
And well,
I feel Khalees is doing something like that. She may have a legitimate, you know, beef with any of them, but I don't like the way she handled it. I don't like that whole thing.
Can I say this?
I didn't answer about Beyonce yet, but
answer about Beyonce.
As far as I know, I mean, I don't know. I'm getting most of the story from you, but you know, whatever the issue was, they say that Beyonce pulled it. Whatever the sampling was,
she did. Beyonce she pulled it. So, in general,
let me
just say this. I love Beyonce. I'm a huge Beyonce fan. I preface that, you know, I like the way she handles her business. You know. Yeah. And I hope that I would like to say I would love for everyone to handle their business like she does. But what I will say is everyone can't handle their business the way she does because Beyonce is Queen B.
Yeah.
Beyonce doesn't need to do much but say, I'm releasing an album or not even say I'm releasing an album, release it and millions of people will, you know, buy it. And Beyonce has earned that right. Like I said, I love her. I think she's talented. I think she's beautiful. All those things. What I will say is unless you are, you know, Beyonce or Rihanna or that type of person,
right,
you don't have the clout to just, you know, you don't have as much protection. And yeah. I feel that Khalees, and I sympathize with Khalees in that I don't think that Khalees handled things in the best way, but I also think that Khalees has felt frustrated and also, you know, had some bad luck in life, whether it's whatever happened with her and Nas, and I'm a huge Nas fan, but according to Khalees, he was abusive. He may or may have not been. Who knows? We also know that Khalees lost her second husband and she has two children with him and small children. And that is a lot to go through. So I feel for Khalees. I wish she would have handled things differently, but I also don't know how I would have felt in a situation where I don't have as much support as, you know, someone like a Beyonce or Ariana, and those are one of a kind. There's no one to compare them to. So I wasn't happy with the way, you know, Khalees went about things. I applaud Beyonce for being Beyonce, but I think Beyonce can be Beyonce because she's Beyonce. I don't think anybody else can pull that off. Right, Mom?
Yeah, that's right. No, I agree with you. I agree with you completely. Okay.
All right, man. So we're gonna move on.
I mean, Beyonce is Beyonce, and we know she has her arsenal and so forth. And so Khalees is just she's calling out to the people, to the public for whatever support she can get. You know, that's the way I read it. You know, and I do definitely read it like she doesn't even consider herself a real peer, because if she did, I don't think she would have approached it that way.
Yeah, well, there you go. She, okay. And remember, they used to hang out. Remember Nas and Khalees and Jay-Z and Beyonce back in the day? They were, you know, well, kind of.
Things have changed.
Things have changed. Yeah. Okay, so after the Grammy-winning songwriter Diane Warren tweeted earlier this week, how can there be 24 writers on a song? Of course, Beyonce's fans, the Beehive, you know, they weren't happy with some of the things that she said, and I do not blame them. Also, Dream responded, the Dream, everyone knows the Dream. He said, you mean how does our Black culture have so many writers? Well, it started because we couldn't afford certain things starting out. So we started sampling and it became an art form, a major part of the Black culture, hip hop in America. Had it not happened, things would have been different. And Diane Warren said, I didn't mean that as an attack or disrespect. I didn't know this. Thank you for making me aware of it. No need to be mean about it. Now, there were several people that, you know, came for Diane Warren after she said what she said. To me, I thought that she was being a little bit shady. She is a songwriter. She's been in the business for so many years. Right. She's a talented writer. No need, and she's worked with Beyonce.
Yeah.
No need to send a tweet like that and roll your eyes. What are your thoughts on Diane Warren, and do you think it was warranted for the Dream to defend Beyonce and also the Beehives?
Well, they simply responded, and you know, and maybe they, and the way I see it is that they use it as a teachable moment. The Dream in particular, the Beehive, they're supported, they're the support system, you know. But mm-hmm. the Dream in particular is, once again, that word peer. He's a peer. He's also a songwriter. And he has
Written a lot of songs with Beyonce.
Absolutely. And he has more intimate knowledge of the work, inner workings and so forth. And I think that it was wonderful that he did respond. And I think it was, Diane Warren was throwing a little bit of shade. But I think she also wanted to be part of the conversation. I think she wanted to be, because this is, you know, it's a big event and, mm-hmm. you know, she's been out here for a minute. And I think she just wanted to still be considered part of that whole conversation.
Do you think that we don't have as much respect for people of a certain age? Do you think that society in general, because Diane Warren is 65 years old?
Yeah, well, there's ageism, of course. I don't know if that applied to this situation.
Oh, they were attacking her age, saying that she was 80, she's 65.
Well, you know, listen, in the midst of a fight, people throw anything. Yeah. It doesn't, you know what I mean? So it.
But we got to stop that, don't you think?
It's not, of course, it's not like they just attacked her for no reason. She mm-hmm. is the one who initiated the whole thing, you know, like they say, all this fan love and war. So mm-hmm. I may not have anything against fat people, but if I'm in a fight with you and you happen to be fat, I'll probably call you fat. You know, but I'm just saying, because things are not unfair in the midst of an argument. Fight. So that's what happens. But I think she wanted to be part of it. And I think she was throwing shade and trying to, you know, cause a little bit of controversy there. I think it was quite deliberate. She's a seasoned professional. She knew what she was doing. She knew what she was saying.
And she's a talented songwriter. And going back and forth.
Well, now we're talking about her, right? Otherwise, would we be talking about her?
That is true. She maybe she'll have some really popular artists, you know, bring her on board to write some songs for her.
Maybe this will initiate a collab.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's a good way to think about it. I don't feel as though, you know, I listen to some other radio stations, and I'm not going to mention them. We're not a radio station. Obviously, we're a podcast. But I didn't really like their take because some of them didn't mention the Dream. because The Dream is an executive, one of the executive producers on a Renaissance album, and he's written for Beyonce several times. So he understands about the culture, and he understands about songwriting, and he also knows Diane Warren. So I think that in this situation, Diane Warren will benefit from this. I think she, like you said, is going to have some collabs. I think that was good, Mom. Mm-hmm. And finally, in the Beyonce world, Monica Lewinsky, and this is new, ooh, she wants Beyonce to remove the line, "He Monica Lewinsky'd all on my gown," in the 2013 song Partition. Now, Monica said that it's not the first time she said anything. Maybe the first time that, you know, some folks have, you know, listened to what she referenced, but she usually makes fun of herself. And Beyonce, you know, she said that Beyonce, she was a fan of Beyonce, and so that's why she was disappointed. So a lot of people came for Monica Lewinsky on this too, because this happened in 2013. And so Beyonce had the word, spaz removed from her catalog, and I apologize for using the word, just want everyone to know what it was, because you know, that's offensive to that's ableism, that's offensive to many groups. And Lizzo also had the word removed, and Beyonce removed whatever sample from Khalees, and now Monica is asking for people to remove Partition. And she was asking for people to remove something from Partition once she heard about the SPAZ word. So what are your thoughts on Monica Lewinsky? You think she's just trying to be in the talks, or I don't like that. I personally don't like that.
Once again, it's something that happened, what are you talking, 9 years ago?
Correct.
You know, come on. Okay. And, you know, and Monica Lewinsky, if we don't know anything else, we know she'll do anything for attention, right? We yes. know she would, and she's been that way for a long time now, okay? Yeah. She knows no boundaries. So I think she's just trying to be out there.
I don't like what Monica did, because I feel as though, as a woman, Beyonce is all about empowerment. And I feel that Beyonce will be supportive of Monica Lewinsky. And for Monica Lewinsky to come at Beyonce the way she did, I thought it wasn't cool, because I think that a lot of people, after much time has passed, they look at Monica Lewinsky and feel that she was victimized in a way. And that she was a young, you know, at 21, 22 years old, you may do a lot of things that you wouldn't do when you're in your 30s and so on. I didn't like that Monica felt that she needed to chime into the conversation, because Beyonce wasn't saying anything in a negative way about Monica. She was just talking about being sexually positive. And that's where I got from it. So I wasn't happy about it with Monica, Mom. Okay, so let's move on to Will Smith's apology. So Will Smith issued a 5-minute apology, you know, on video, regarding his slap, you know, of Chris Rock with the Academy Awards. And he dropped it on Instagram, and he apologized to Chris Rock's mother and other members of his family. And at this point, he wanted, you know, he knows that everybody was thinking about it. He says, "How many people got hurt in the moment? I want to apologize to Chris's family, specifically Tony Rock. You know, we had a great relationship. You know, Tony Rock was my man, and this is probably irreparable." He went on to mention a lot of things in this video, but Mom, what are your thoughts on Chris Rock's, on Will Smith's apology? And do you think that Chris Rock should accept his apology?
First of all, the apology I thought was, look, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said he felt the apology was sincere. I listened to the apology a couple times, and I felt that it was not sincere. I felt that it was self-serving. I hope that I'm wrong, but, you know, Will caught a lot of flack for, you know, his, you know, actions and so forth. And, you know, and his assault on Chris. And I felt that because of that, because he is such a star, you know, and has been so supported by the public, I think, you know, he felt the sting, you know, and I think he wants to make amends and restore his reputation to whatever extent it can be restored. And I don't think the apology was about Chris Rock at all. I think the apology was about Will pushing his brand, you know, because he used words like, I'm sorry about what happened. It was unacceptable. When Chris is ready, I'll be here. I thought he showed very little contrition. A couple of times he said things like, well, I not only was it unacceptable, I don't want anyone to think that I thought I was doing the right thing, but he never did say he did the wrong thing.
That's true.
He never did come right out very plain and clear. And then he said, a lot of people got hurt. What do you mean a lot of people got hurt? Why didn't you say, my actions hurt a lot of people's feelings? My actions offended a lot of people. He just said, a lot of people got hurt. Well, why'd they get hurt, Will? They got hurt because of you, what you did, you know? And then he was there defending, you know, Jada, oh, she didn't say anything to me. It was all me. It was all that, you know. I mean, after a while, the apology wasn't about Chris at all. You know, after a while, he was just talking to the public. He was just talking to the public in general, talking to people who either he hoped were his fans or who he hoped to reconvert to his, you know, reinstate or whatever as his fans. And that's how I saw it. I saw it as being disingenuous. I mean, maybe I'm being cynical, but I didn't hear enough of him saying, I did this. I'm sorry. I behave atrociously. I offended and hurt a lot of people. I didn't hear that accountability a lot. I didn't hear that. I was listening for those words. And Chris says he doesn't want to talk right now. And I told him, I'm here whenever you want to talk. Well, Chris knows he's there. What you mean by that?
Well,
I'm not feeling that. I'm not feeling that.
Well, you know what I think?
You should be. You initiated the whole thing. You set off the offensive. What do you mean you're here?
Well, you know what?
You're willing to listen and you're receptive. I didn't buy it. I didn't like it. I was, and if I was Chris, I'm just answering you, Peg. And if I was Chris, you know, whenever, whatever, you know, I'd forgive you or talk to you whenever I felt like it. He may have already forgiven him, but that is a separate thing. That doesn't necessarily mean he wants to talk to him.
Well, you know what I think, Ma? I think in a situation like this, you know, whether you, you know, think his apology is sincere or not, yeah. And who knows? Because what do you mean by sincere? Is it sincere that, you know, you really feel bad because you think that you hurt someone, or is it sincere because you think you hurt the way people view you as an actor, as a professional?
He even said something. I'm sorry, Pay, but that reminds me. Will even said something like, he's sorry he disappointed people because he didn't behave the way they think Will Smith should behave, or something like that, he said. Mm-hmm. And what it meant was, is, you know, that might not be really how I behave, but that's the way people think that I behave as Will Smith, or think I should behave as Will Smith. He said a couple of things to me that were very revealing and didn't show that he was really being straight up about it. I don't think he was 100%.
Well, yeah, and my point if you are sincere, if you're not or not, time will tell. And, you know, the apology is for you. The action is for the person that you're apologizing to. So we'll see if what Will Smith really, whatever he said, is sincere or not. So,
And the other thing is like, well, you know, I've reached out to him, and mm-hmm. so that's it. And whenever and if ever he wants to talk, I'll be here.
Right. You know? And as far as we know, Chris Rock.
Did you say whether
or not you think that Chris Rock should accept his apology? Or did I miss that?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking you.
No, I didn't specifically say that. I wouldn't feel, if he said those words to me, I wouldn't feel that that was an adequate apology. If he said that to me under the same circumstances, I'm giving you an example of what I would think would be an adequate apology. And that would be if he said on a huge stadium or forum or whatever in front of millions of people that he is sorry for what he did and he is wrong for what he did. Then I might accept that apology. But if you come in with all these half-truths and evasive statements and like I'll blame it on the sun or whatever happened, I don't know why it happened, why people got hurt and all that, you know, instead of saying I did it, instead of taking ownership and being, you know, an adult about it, you know, I didn't hear that from him. If I was Chris, I wouldn't be happy with that half-assed apology. No. And that's the way it came across to me. It didn't come across as, I'm sorry. You know, Chris, that was messed up what I did. I'm sorry. I disrespected everybody. You, myself, family, friends, everything. It's on me. I did the wrong thing. I value our friendship and I apologize and I want to make amends. Or whatever, words to that effect. Will didn't do that. He came up with a whole bunch of stuttering and mumbling around bull crap, and I didn't care for that.
I would, in this situation, I would forgive Will, but I would move on. But I would look at him, you know, with a side eye and go on about my business because having it wait on me.
Forgive and accepting the apology, to me, they're different things.
Okay.
To me, because in my heart, I may hold no will ill toward you. In my heart, I may have forgiven you. Mm-hmm. But the words that you're saying to me, do I believe and accept them as being genuine? I don't have to. I may have forgiven you already before you even said any words. Mm-hmm. You got me?
No, I totally get you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, yeah.
All right. All right, so let's move on to somebody else who's been, you know, trending the past few days. Neo. So Neo's wife, Crystal Renee Smith, shared an emotional statement on Instagram. And she said, 8 years of lies and deception, 8 years of unknowingly sharing my life and husband with numerous of women who sell their bodies to him unprotected. Every last one of them to say I'm heartbroken and disgusted is an understatement. To ask me to stay and accept it is absolutely insane. The mentality of a narcissist. I will no longer lie to the public or pretend that this is something it isn't. I choose me. I choose my happiness and health and my respect. I gained 3 beautiful children out of this, but nothing else but wasted years and heartache. I ask that you all please stop sending me videos or information of him cheating because what he does is no longer my concern. I am not a victim. I'm choosing to stand tall with my head held high. If someone can't love you the way you deserve, then it's up to you to love yourself. With no hate in my heart, I wish nothing but the best. Crystal Renee. So Neo has, you know, asked since then, he's asked for privacy. So, Mom, what are your thoughts about this?
I bet he wanted privacy long before she made that statement.
Yes.
I don't know because, I don't want to get into the right and wrong of this kind of situation. I don't know that you even can because it's an emotional relationship. It's, you know, like a love relationship and they have the children together and they obviously have, you know, a substantial history. And when emotions run that high, people behave all sorts of ways. There's a whole lot at stake. That's her whole lifestyle and the father of her three children. So to me, I will overlook, in my opinion, I'd overlook a lot of things. I mean, short of her getting physically violent, you know, and that kind of thing. I would overlook what, you know, a lot of things. And in fact, the things that she said, if true, were, you know, sort of an indictment of Neo, but she didn't actually, I don't know if she negatively characterized him, you know.
She did, Ma.
But wait a minute. Or was she stating objective facts? Or did he in fact just do those things to her and she recounted those things to the public? You know,
can't they be true?
Yeah. Sometimes there's some intersection. Yeah. Okay. Sometimes they overlap. And so if that's the case, well, you know, the truth is the defense, right? You know, if that's the truth and that's what he did and that's what happened, well, then that's what he did. And she has the right to comment on it because he did it to her. It was the two of them, you know.
Yeah. So,
not Tom, Dick, and Harry. She talking about what happened between the two of them, pretty much. You know, so whether she should or shouldn't have, like I said, when your emotions run high like that, you know, all is fair in love and war. You got me? And that's war. And so, you know, I understand it. And I am happy to hear her say that she's going on about her business, whatever the heck she feels like doing. And she's not being, you know, stymied or stifled by him.
Right.
So I was happy to hear that part. Especially, I'd like to hear it if she, you know, were a single woman. But I in particular like to hear it because she has three children. So, you know, so to me, she has a, you know, pretty good attitude. I guess she's been through a lot with him. And, you know, I guess she's, you know, ready to, you know, just say it's curtains. This is all over, you know.
I don't know how I feel about putting that information out publicly into the universe. I think it, you know, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't think that.
Well, wait a minute now.
I think that causes a lot of stress and pain.
But Pei, now wait a minute. What you're saying, of course, is that, but that's just sort of her fighting back because that's what he did to her. And she feels she has no defense. That's her defense mechanism. She has no other defense but to say, well, look, you did A, B, C, D, and E. And I stood here and dealt with it and accepted it through three children in however many years.
And you some know. People. So, no, go ahead, man.
No. So she's fighting back.
And you some know, people are saying that once a cheater, always a cheater, because Neo apparently has done this before, and he cheated on a former lover or fiance with her, and she eventually became his wife. That's what I don't know the exact details. This is rumored. Please, guys, don't come at us. This is just the information that we've heard. So I don't know, Ma. I think.
Well, see, that's a whole nother issue too, because. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, there's so many different sayings. And when another saying is, well, you know, if he was that way when you started with him, what did you think he was going to do for you?
Yeah. And why? I also think it's difficult to ask for privacy on Neo's account when she put that out there into the universe. And then Neo had songs about their relationship. And, he, you know, he went on the Breakfast Club and was talking about it. So you put that out. So once you put it out for public consumption, people feel as though they can comment on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So to me, that falls into sort of a different kind of category. You know, that falls into the category of all is fair in love and war.
Okay, so let's move on to another pop star, but Shakira could face more than 8 years in prison if convicted in her tax fraud trial. She's accused by Spanish prosecutors of failing to pay 14.5 million euros or $14.8 million in taxes between 2012 and 2014. So Shakira feels confident in that she'll be proven innocent. She refused to take any type of settlement. My question to you is, Ma, you can be specific about Shakira or not. Do you think that people should go to jail for non-payment of taxes or tax fraud?
Listen, Not if that's the only thing, you know, I don't think, not if that's the only thing that they've done. If they can make restitution, then I don't see the point in putting them in jail. I don't see the point. Not really. I don't know why it's, you know, but so many people have gone to jail for that, you know, and gotten in and gone bankrupt and gotten into a lot of trouble. Well, I don't necessarily think you should go to jail for that. But there's also a number of people who have gone to jail for tax evasion and tax fraud and so forth, who had so many other charges against them. And they just, you know, they just needed something to that they could actually nail them on, something that they could actually document. So they ended up going to jail for tax fraud or tax evasion, when in fact, maybe they were a murderer or they were child pornographers or whatever. You got me? But they went to jail for tax evasion. That tax evasion has been used a lot to put people who were guilty of other far more significant crimes, to put them in jail.
Right. Because
also were tax evaders, you know, or whatever.
Right.
But just
but that doesn't seem to be the case with Shakira.
No, no. But just in general for Shakira, it would seem as if they would allow her to make restitution. I don't really fully understand why she isn't being allowed to make restitution.
Well, they're asking for, they asked her for a settlement. She refused to pay that. So I don't know the details.
Well, you know, I don't know either. Well, she knows, you know, she knows what it is. She knows the liability.
Right.
So, you know, now whether I personally think it's a good idea, probably not. I think there are, you know, much more egregious things that people could do. You know, and people do, you know, all the time, that they, you know, should be, you know, should go to jail for. But in Shakira's case, evidently she feels that she has a strong case. She feels she has a very winnable case. Otherwise, she would have just, you know, taken a settlement. And then sometimes people just misread the law. Sometimes people misread what the chances of going to jail are, you know, and so and she may feel that she's a celebrity. She's not going to jail for that. I don't know. You know, I really don't know what the situation is with Shakira. And in fact, maybe she's not guilty. More than likely she is. But, you know,
I'm not a fan of people going to jail for quote unquote non-payment of taxes. There's people who don't go to jail for murder. You know, for really heinous crime. So I don't, I think if, you know, if this is true, then I think that there's a way to resolve the issue that doesn't involve her going to jail. And Shakira may be completely innocent. So we'll see how it plays out. But I think this whole thing about tax fraud in jail, I think they need to get that out of here. Because that's how the system is in general. If you don't pay money, you know, throw you in jail. That's really how it is, if you think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But money can also keep you out of jail, too.
That's true. Yeah. Let's talk about somebody else who has a lot of money. And, you know, well, Deshaun Watson has been suspended for 6 games over sexual misconduct accusations. Watson did not face any criminal charges.
Is this something new, or is this all his
own? This is new within the past couple of days.
But those massagers, masseuse people again.
Correct. But the NFL hired someone who was supposed to be a
babysitting him.
No, not, what did you say?
Repeat that. Babysitting him.
No, not babysitting him. An impartial person to oversee the case. And it was the judge, I think her name is Sue L. Robinson, and she decided that a 6-game suspension would be sufficient. Now, the NFL has 3 business days to appeal the sentence, and a lot of people are saying that the NFL will appeal that and ask for more games. Now, their next rumor is that Deshaun Watson is threatening to sue if because he's not happy with the 6-game suspension. Well, a lot of people feel he should have a year suspension, which is 17 games.
Yeah.
Now, Michael Vick was suspended indefinitely for dog fighting, and he was reinstated 2 years, you know, after he served time actually in jail. Tom Brady was suspended 4 games for inflating balls. Jameis Winston was suspended 3 games for allegedly inappropriately touching a female Uber driver. And then we have Josh Gordon, who's been suspended for 3 seasons for smoking weed. And recently, Calvin Ridley has been suspended 17 games for betting a $1,500 parlay bet on NFL games. So do you think the NFL should appeal the decision? And what are your thoughts on this? Do you think 6 games is enough? What are your thoughts, Mom?
You know, I really think he needs to be suspended for a while until he goes through whatever type of rehab he needs to go to. I hardly think 6 games would be enough, because he's just a straight up recidivist. He's been going through this for a long time. How many people are involved? How many allegations against this man? You know, do they want to fix him and make him whole, or are they just trying to, you know, sweep it under the rug? I mean, what is the goal? What is the end game? Because if they don't give him more than a 6-game suspension, you know, it's inevitable that he's going to continue with whatever he's doing. Look how long he's already been doing it. Chances of him stopping, is the goal for him to stop the behavior? I don't even understand what the goal is.
Well, it's just a lot of money.
Forget about the money. He's going, if he starts playing again after just a 6-game suspension, he's not going to stop the behavior.
Correct. So
then here comes the suspension again. You got me? They know he needs to go get whatever it is, whatever help is available for him. He needs to be involved.
I agree.
He needs to do that. And if he can do that in 6 weeks, good. Chances of him being able to do that in 6 weeks are almost zero.
I agree. I don't think that he will be able to do that in six weeks. I'm on board with you, Ma. And I think that the NFL doesn't particularly, and I mentioned this before, care about its female audience. And I feel like if the female audience, you know, has some pushback and, you know, just said, hey, we're not going to support you until you do right by us. Right. Then maybe they would, you know, change, because whatever is going on with Deshaun Watson, where there's smoke, there's fire. I don't know exactly what, but something is not right.
Yeah, come on. So every time you turn around, there's a slew of those, massage people coming and saying that he was inappropriate. You know, I mean, come on. And apparently that's what he likes. And I don't even want to go too much
into that. Yeah, we don't have to go into that.
Right.
Okay. Right. So we're going to switch things up a little bit. Just kind of talking about what's going on in the business world. So in San Francisco, it's becoming more and more popular for restaurants to, let's just say they're getting rid of the tips and they're adding on gratuities. So this one particular restaurant, Zuni Cafe in San Francisco, removed the tips about a year ago. It wanted to narrow the pay gap between the front of the house and the back of the house. Unfortunately, many of the servers who are in the front of the house are seeing less in their pocketbooks and aren't able to make ends meet, in particular in San Francisco, where the cost of living is very expensive. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the whole no tips and automatic gratuity?
I don't know, but if the effort is to make things more equitable among all of the staff, then I'm all for it. Now, how that's working out, I'm not really sure. I don't know if all the money goes into one pot and then it's split, you know, because if that's what's happening, that's what needs to happen, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, I don't.
Is that where we are?
That's in particular in San Francisco.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. You know, if that's where,
but that's being put on the customers, and sometimes I feel as though, do you feel as though the service? You're talking about the staff. The
customers, yeah, I'm talking about the staff, because the staff, they're the people who are really impacted most. Because the customers, I mean, what you're explaining to me is that the customers are giving tips. You know, it's not that the customers aren't giving, coming out of their pocket. It's just the distribution.
It's an automatic gratuity of 20% is put on a particular, right?
Now they're doing it that way.
However, so, but you know, what, Mom, because it works both ways, because say when you go to a restaurant and you can have a really nice server, but the food is just not good, that server can suffer. And then there's the vice versa. The food can be delicious and the server could not be the best in the world. And on the back end, the chef, the sous chef and the chef, they could suffer. So I guess it kind of works out, but maybe they need to think of something, come up with a different plan, because how is it now that with the automatic gratuity, that there's, you know, many different restaurants and servers that are complaining that they aren't able to make ends meet? Were they being overpaid? Were they being overpaid while the back, you know, the, what do you call it? The back staff or back house or whatever was being underpaid. What's going on? I don't know. We got to figure things out as far as that's concerned, because I think a lot of people still haven't gotten used to the automatic gratuity on bills. And I think it's necessary. I agree with you, but I think there may be something else that we need to do as well to show special love to really good service and to show not such good love to bad service. So also something
that is going to come in a non-monetary form.
Maybe.
You know, yeah. But there are other, you know, there are other things that we could look at, but you know, bottom line, people need to be able to pay their bills and earn a decent wage.
Of course.
What it is that they're doing. And so to me, that should be the focus of everything. And the customer, of course, deserves to be treated well and should be treated well to good food and good service and so forth. But let's face it, it's not the customer who's really suffering.
But here's the issue. How do you feel about paying a gratuity if you had poor service?
Well, I do just as you just suggested. Was the food bad? Was the server bad? I mean, who was good? Was the mixologist good? I mean, who was good and who was bad?
Well, you understand where I'm coming from. It's an automatic gratuity.
Yes.
What if the entire experience was bad?
Well, then now you need to be discussing that with the owner of the establishment or the manager of the establishment. You need to kick it up a notch if, in fact, that's what's happening, because that whole restaurant is in trouble.
Okay. Gotcha. Good thinking, Mom.
Yeah.
Okay. And finally, Kansas, one of the most conservative states in the country, said women own their bodies.
That's right.
Abortion will remain legal in Kansas. Yes. A state in which Trump won by 15 points in 2020. Mom, what are your thoughts?
Just wonderful. When I heard it, I was like, Kansas? Yeah. What? I just thought that was just so wonderful, because, you know, somewhere somebody has respect, not somewhere, but in Kansas, you know, people have respect for themselves, for the rights of others, for the right to choose. And I just was very happy about it. You know, I was happy all the way around. And I said, I want to hear that some more. I want to hear that going from state to state, because as you said, Kansas, who is at, you know, their, you know, Trump state, you know, you just would not think that. And I was very pleased to hear that. And it makes me look at the whole reversal of Roe, you know, Roe v. Wade. It makes me look at it and say, I wonder how many other people are going to take that same view.
Right.
No, it makes you look at,
but it's not up for vote in a lot of states. It just is on the books as law. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, but I agree with you. I was extremely happy to hear that.
In Kansas, women are assured that they will have the right foot to whatever kind of health treatment that they want,
to make their own decision, to not let a man dictate their decision.
Right. Or of a woman.
You're right.
Because I was very proud of them. And I was very surprised. I'm like, Kansas, whoever thought, right?
Yeah. And finally, one of our favorite segments, Naomi Knows Best.
Well, that's for sure. Let me hear it.
Dear Naomi, I've been dating a man for about 18 months. I have a 4-year-old son from a previous relationship. The guy I'm seeing has been great. I'm 32 and he's 35. Okay. We've talked about marriage, and frankly, that's the only type of relationship I'm looking for moving forward. However, the man I'm dating, who has been supportive and kind, showed me another side of himself about a week ago.
Uh-oh.
My 4-year-old son called him a broke N-word, and the man I'm dating hit him 3 times. My son doesn't know what that means. We are all Black, and no one in this scenario is broke. I don't believe in corporal punishment. I believe in discipline, but not physical. This was a huge turnoff, and I haven't spoken to him in a week. He keeps texting and calling, asking to get back together, but I don't know if I can trust that he will never do it again. Do you think I should give him a second chance? I really miss him.
I don't know. Oh, that would be very difficult for me because, you know, if everything else is you know, okay, I might. And I don't know how hard he hit him, if he really hurt him, this and that. But we would have to come to the agreement that you don't hit my son. You don't hit my son. Okay? I have an issue with that. You know, I worked in child protective services for years. You know, I don't believe in that. Okay? I personally do not believe in that. And you know, I raised you. So I don't believe in that. I do not believe in all this hitting and carrying on. I believe in discipline through talk and teach, discipline to teach.
I agree. Discipline.
I do not believe in that. And I'm not even too sure how I would have reacted in the moment if he would have hit my son 3 times. I don't know. That might have been just a whole big mess. That may not have worked that well at all. But if, in fact, I could keep my cool enough to continue talking to him, it would be with the proviso that you keep your hands off my child. If you believe in beating children, that's all fine, well, and good. But you better know you will not be beating my child. No. You know, you teach, you talk to him, you explain to him that you don't, that this is just slang and it does and what it means, and it can be very offensive. You know, you give him some historical, you know, context and to the extent that you can do that for a 4-year-old, you know, and so forth. But why on God's earth would any sensible grown man be beating a 4-year-old who doesn't even fully understand what he's saying? For saying that, that whole thing about broke and that word. Now, he may have known that that word was bad. The reason I say he may have known that the word was a bad word, because the way he used it and the way he heard it, he probably knows it's something that he shouldn't be saying. You got me? Because in what context do you hear that?
Right.
Pleasant. You only hear it when it's an insult,
right?
You know, especially the two words together. You know, you don't hear it in a way that it's good or positive. So he probably knew that he was saying something he shouldn't have said, but he maybe doesn't fully understand the degree, the extent. Wait a minute. But the other thing is that also maybe the boyfriend, maybe apologetic. He may feel that he overreacted in a moment, and he may in fact be sorry that he did that.
That would be a hard one for me, because I don't believe in, you know, beatings and spankings. I don't believe in that at all. But I especially don't believe in you hitting and beating on other people's children.
Yeah.
And so that's a red flag. I don't know how I would feel about that. It would really have to depend on how great our relationship was. And he would have to do a lot of apologizing and show me moving forward that, you know, what if we had a child together? You know,
right.
This is how you're going to think, oh, because it's your blood now. You can do what you want to do.
No. You're not going to continue to treat my child or my child with you or our child.
Right.
That's not going to happen. Yeah. If that happens, then I'm out. If that continues to happen, well, the first time, I'm not sure. It depends on how severe, and the circumstances, maybe you get a chance to be apologetic. Maybe you get a chance to learn and grow and get it right. If you show me that you're willing to do those things, because some people will do it and think that they're right. And, if you don't like it, overall, that's a very difficult, a situation. If the relationship has been good otherwise, and the offense was not very violent or brutal, the degree, did he hit him really hard? I say he should not have hit him at all, but did he hit him really hard? Did he do any damage? What is his attitude after? Is he sorry? And on. So like I said, he would have to be sorry. He would have to give me his word that wouldn't happen again, and so on and so forth. If he wasn't willing to do that and use that as a teachable moment and just admit that that was the moment when he did not do the right thing. If he was willing to do that, then, I would give it another chance. But if and when it ever comes up again, I'm out, because now that means that you are incorrigible and you did not mean what you said in the first place.
I would
not subject my child to that. That's not happening.
No. I think in that situation, I think it would be good to, go to therapy and see if there could be a way for us to resolve it. But it would depend, like you said, on the degree to which my child was being abused, because to me, when you're doing that, you're being abusive. People say, oh, no, there's no, to me, at this stage of the game, there's really no need for physical punishment, because to me, you're the one that's out of control, reason why it's punishment, it's cruel at the end of the day, because you are inflicting pain on someone who is smaller than you. If that child was bigger than you, 99 times out of 100, you wouldn't try that.
Of course not. You're doing it to a defenseless child, and a person with a conscience is going to realize that and understand that not only did they hurt the child emotionally and physically, they have done nothing to teach the child that this is not the thing to say or do and why it is offensive and so forth. So, it's not good, but he needs to be aware of that. And if it doesn't fully acknowledge and accept the blame and responsibility for what he did, then we could have no further discussion and that relationship would be over.
Okay. Well, I'm in total agreement with you on that. Is there anything that you want to say to people before we go?
I want to tell everyone to continue to enjoy your summer and wish me luck with my new lodgings, my new place. It's lovely. Like I said, I got a lot of work, but I'll be keeping you all updated.
I know you will. All right, guys, be safe, and thanks for listening to the Bambushi Happy Hour. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and also Pinterest at the Bambushi Happy Hour. And go to our YouTube channel, support it at All Things Peju, the home of the Bambushi Happy Hour. Guys, subscribe. Also subscribe to our newsletter or on our website, thebambushihappyhour.com. All right, guys, safe, and
make sure you stay hydrated. Don't forget it in this summer heat. Stay hydrated.
Oh, one more thing. Hit us up at info@bambushihappyhour.com to be featured on our episode, especially Naomi Knows Best. But we have all different types of new segments that will be coming up over the next few weeks, guys. So be safe and stay cool. Bye.
Bye.